On today's episode of the Brad and Will Show, we have Rockets beat writer and host of the Ecosystem podcast, Kelly Eco, on the show to discuss Ime Udoka's introductory press conference to free agency and the draft. So you're definitely going to want to stay tuned and listen to this one.
All right, and welcome back to the episode of the Brido and Will Show. I'm your first host, as always, Will. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bias Houston. We've been over there doing a lot of the immediate reaction spaces to all the different news that's dropping with the Houston Rockets. So if you want to tap in with that, I mean, got the Texans draft coming up. We can talk about over there as well. So anything Houston sports, Houston Rockets related, we got you covered over there. Quickly shout out the Brido and Will Show on Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter as well. Especially on YouTube, we appreciate all the support you guys have been showing us over there. You can see, hit the subscribe button on that front, but I'll pass off to Brad.
Yeah, as always, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, you can find me on all socials at BradoNBA. Favorite stats, highlights, always got you covered. But we're going to kick it off to Kelly because we got Kelly Eco on the show. A lot of information to be said. It's good to have you on again, second time.
Yes, sir. Man, y'all doing big things, man.
We appreciate that.
I appreciate you. We're going to kick it off to Will. Again, we got questions talking about the press conference, drafts, all that good stuff, free agency. So, yeah, we just going to get it started right now.
I mean, it's a really interesting time to be a Rockets fan. There's a lot of stuff that, you would want to get like a Rockets insider's kind of perspective on. So I think people are going to enjoy this episode. But we'll start it off, you know, with the biggest news on everybody's plate right now, which is just the Ime Udoka hiring and kind of how that came to front. So the first question we had is what do you think like attracted Ime Udoka to Houston? And then like, what do you think, not just attracted him to Houston, but what made the job so, I mean, what made Udoka so attractive to Tillman and Stone?
You know, from a Houston standpoint, you know, after the Steven Silas era, you know, looking forward, they wanted somebody, you know, obviously a big name to get behind, but more importantly, they wanted somebody that the young players could gravitate towards, that they could, you know, that who could be held accountable, who they could demand things on and off the floor. They wanted a leader. And that's kind of what brought them through this process. You know, interviewing guys like Frank Vogel, you know, who was a very strong candidate as well, James Borrego, you know, Udoka. They wanted somebody that could earn the respect of players and push them in ways that they hadn't been pushed before. So from Udoka's standpoint, you know, you look at the Rockets situation, and he talked about this during his press conference that there were other jobs available. Like, obviously, he could have gone to Toronto. He could have gone to Detroit. But he said, you know, just going to a team, a middle-of-the-park team that had a five-seed ceiling wasn't that attractive to him, as opposed to seeing a young group in Houston that you could build with and build from the ground up, and you have that flexibility. You know, they talked a lot about cap space. You know, they're going to have $60 million in cap space, the opportunity to bring in, you know, three or four older, experienced free agents. Obviously, you have a top draft pick, and being able to add that to a young core that already has some exciting pieces, but just they need kind of molding. They need structure, because, you know, from this season, it's clear that there's some talent on that roster. You look at guys like Jalen Green, Jabari Smith Jr., Alperen Şengün, Tari Eason. You know, there are pieces to get behind. And as a coach, when you see that on paper, it should be exciting. Now, obviously, you know, the wins and losses that haven't been what – you guys have wanted for 3 years, but there is a path forward. And the important thing is that now you're seeing kind of that alignment from top to bottom in terms of what you want in a coach and what the coach wants from their players.
Yeah, I wanted to say, it was interesting that you had mentioned before that they had pretty much had their minds made up by the time Nick Nurse had gotten fired. So it's cool to see Tillman and his guy. But, you know, going on to the next question, I saw you had mentioned before that Ime Udoka, this hire is going to impact Jalen Green a lot. I saw you touch on that. If you want to touch on some more and some other players you think would be impacted the most.
Yeah, so, you know, Jalen, obviously a very polarizing player. You know, we know what he can do offensively. The question was, is the efficiency going to be up to par? How are you going to progress his playmaking to get from, you know, the initiatory stage to the, you know, secondary and tertiary, all those kind of reads? Defensively as well, there was a lot to be desired. You know, the effort was kind of waning. He showed sometimes he could be in isolation a very engaged defender, but off the ball in transition, it was really lacking. So after the season, talking to front office, kind of the sense was that he wanted to be pushed and challenged. He wanted to be like that. He thought coming into the league that's what it was going to be about. Just being pushed. Someone's going to be on you every day. So them bringing in Ime, he was one of the biggest proponents of that as well. He was one of the biggest fans of that hire. A lot of the young players on the roster, they're very excited because they know what Ime has done with guys like a Jason Tatum, guys like a Jaylen Brown. And if you're a young player and you look up to those kind of players, it's only giving you that much more excitement to think of what can he do for you, with some structure and some coaching and some brute honesty, but also with openness and love and stuff like that, accountability. So Jalen's going to benefit greatly. I think Kevin was, well, he actually sat in the front row for Ime's presser, and that showed a lot of intent. Just wanted to be the first guy to kind of touch base with him because Ime said he wants to spend time with everyone on the roster between now and the start of the season. So getting that first – and obviously he's known Kevin from the Northwest and stuff like that, high school, USC, stuff like that. But just putting – being familiar with him from a day-to-day standpoint is different. Obviously, I think he's going to love Tari Eason because you see a guy that sometimes he gets down on himself because he expects so much of himself. And then especially from a defensive standpoint, he's already been able to impact the game in ways a lot of rookies can't. And that shouldn't be expected from a lot of young players. But Tari and Jabari, they bring that culture. They bring that grit, that tenacity, kind of the things that Ime Udoka wants to bring to a team. So I think he's going to fall in love with those guys like a Jayson Tate, Tari, Jabari, Alperen. He's going to be on Alperen from day one, I think. Just getting him to get the motor up. Obviously, he's a very skilled offensive big man, but defensively, there's a lot to be desired. And towards the end of the season, we saw him, be more engaged defensively, trying to do his thing with Jokic and stuff like that. And it was admirable. But Ime said, youth is not an excuse. So from day one, he's going to come in and push those guys to the limit. It's going to be for their goods because at the end of the day, they all have the same goals. They want to win. They want to get to phase two, which is getting back to play-in, playoff, whatever you want to call it. So I think it's going to be good for everyone.
Yeah, and since you touched on KPJ and Şengün, those are two players that we had questions about as well.
Right.
KPJ was the only person at that press conference, and I saw people were kind of skeptical about that, but I know there's people, these guys have things to do in the offseason, so
yeah.
About that. But just looking at Kevin Porter Jr., I thought it was mature of him to be there. And right. A lot of people curious, what is his stance on the team next year? Do you think his spot is solidified, as that point guard, say, even if they get a guy like Scoot Henderson? Or what do you think about Kevin Porter Jr. in that regard?
As it relates to his, starting, whatever, I think the good thing that you do in bringing in Ime is that he comes in with an unbiased standpoint. He comes in wanting to work, and obviously the roster you see right now is not going to be the roster you see on opening night. So I do think that they're going to add a point guard. Well, I know they're going to add a veteran point guard at some point. They're going to add shooting. They're going to add rim protection, stuff like that. And it's going to be a fair fight. Kevin will get a shot to fight for his job as well as whoever they bring in, as well as whoever is drafted, if it's Scoot or if it's whatever, we don't know at this point. But I would say it's an open competition for a number of spots on that team, because if you've lost as many games as they have in 3 years, why should you be guaranteed anything? Ime is going to come in and demand that, there's no entitlement on this team. There's going to be no, egos. There's going to be no, everyone's going to be on the level playing field, because coming from where he came from as a player, he was one of the 14th, 15th guy on the roster. So he understands what it takes to put in work and kind of have to grind it out just to get some playing time. So I think for these young guys, the most important thing they need is understanding and accountability. There should be no entitlement on this team. You have to come in from the ground floor, even though you've been here 2, 3 years, 1 year. It doesn't matter. You're starting from scratch. This is a whole new regime, a whole new era. And I think Ime understands that, and it's going to take that and run with it.
I wanted to ask, you know, just kind of a little bit deviating from the course. You said that we'll be bringing in like a veteran point guard, and obviously, like we'll touch on a little bit later with the, you know, right, the James Harden rumors, and you know that right, obviously he's a veteran point guard. But do you think the veteran point guard is going to be like a big swing, like a James Harden or a Fred VanVleet, or is a veteran point guard somebody as simple as like a Patrick Beverley or like a Javon Carter is somebody who's a free agent this year. Do you know if it's like a big splash or just like a, it could just be like a real vet at that position?
Even like a Ben Smith, I've heard too.
So obviously, you know, the draft comes before free agency for a reason, because so let's say the Rockets get the number two pick. If they took Scoot Henderson, then you wouldn't really need to go for the big swing. I mean, you could, but if you want to groom, you know, Scoot Henderson, that also makes a lot of sense too. But if they don't get a top two pick, I could definitely see them going for a big swing, because if you don't have a point guard in this draft, you're going to need something to really push this thing forward, because the Rockets don't want another season of 20, 25, 28 wins. They want real improvement. And that might be asking a lot given where they're coming from, but with $60 million in cap space, you're damn sure that they're going to try and add somebody, you know, of substance to this team. So if they don't get a top, I think everything depends on the draft. I think if they don't get a top two pick, then they'll probably look to get a real name in point guard, like a VanVleet, you know, James, obviously, stuff like that.
Okay, interesting. So like I said, I think that was pretty interesting. I'll keep it moving with the actual questions. But, you know, one thing that Ime Udoka touched on in this press conference yesterday, was he kind of laid out what they were going to do in free agency. He talked about bringing spacing. But I think the biggest, you know, the nugget, or I'm going to say the biggest, like one of the biggest nuggets we heard from that section, was he pretty much said that they wanted to bring in a big that kind of contrasted Alper and Şengün. And I know some people kind of took that to mean they want to replace Şengün, or, you know, they weren't happy with Şengün. So I don't know. Can you kind of give your thoughts on, you know, what you think that means as far as like, you know, does that mean they're looking to put Şengün on the bench, or is this just to compliment Şengün? Like, what's your kind of takeaway from that?
I took it more along the lines of finding a complimentary big, you know, with where Ime has been in his career in terms of the kind of players he's coached. Everyone's going to talk about Al Horford, but not only was Al Horford a quality playmaker and a smart offensive player, he's been a great defender, rim protector. He's been a solid rim protector. So naturally, you know, when you want to add different kinds of big men, you do want, because the Rockets solely need rim protection badly, because Alperen Şengün isn't quite there yet in terms of where you would want to see from a rim protecting big, the last line of your defense. But Ime wants vets, and those vets can help him. It's not just about getting guys that are going to, you know, usurp from the lineup, but the Rockets want to give him real competition at the center position. I mean, you saw in training camp what happened. You know, the starters, you know, were getting blessed off the floor, you know, with LP in camp and Bruno with the second team, they were destroying them. And then they swapped Bruno and LP, and then the starters were killing. So that's kind of what led them to start Bruno at the beginning of the year. Now, obviously, that was a short-lived stint, because Alperen Şengün is a much better player than Bruno Fernando. But it kind of gives you the insight as to what the coaches were thinking, right, in terms of rim running, you know, defense. Just even though he's not a great defender by any means, but he was showing them on paper what they wanted to do. So if Ime Udoka comes in and he sees a free agent, he sees a Brook Lopez, you see a Jakob Poeltl, guys like that, you know, Miles Plumlee, that there are different kinds of big men out there that you can bring in to bolster your squad that sorely needs diversity. You know, you do need rim protection, you do need rebounders, you do need, you know, floor spacers. So until Alperen can get to that level, they're going to look to bring in players that are already there, and that's what you should do as a winning organization.
Yeah, that was a good answer. We also wanted to touch on really quickly You know, they were talking about this young roster. There's four or five guys they think could be stars, but obviously right. you never know all these trade assets. I know, it's funny. They have a whole bunch of guys that could be trade assets. Again, they got a guy like a Jaylen Brown on the market. Say if they wanted to take a swing at a Jaylen Brown or just anybody, like who on this team, in my opinion, I would say Jalen Green and Jabari Smith Jr. are the only two players 1,000% safe. But in your eyes, like, who do you think is completely safe from the trade market this season when it comes to that?
Completely safe. I would say it would take a lot for the Rockets to move off of a guy like Jalen Green. I think he's pretty safe. I think it would take a pretty substantial – like, obviously, if Dallas said it will give you Luka or something, they would move Jalen, but – I think for him and Jabari, it's going to take more so Jalen, but it would take a lot. And I would put Tari in that category as well. I think you need guys like that in the roster if you're trying to build something. So obviously the Jalen Brown thing is intriguing because, you know, the Celtics can go a number of ways, you know, in terms of if they want to have two Superman, like, can you even do that? Like, I don't even know if the Celtics would want to do that or entertain possibly playing two, like just the cap constraints alone. But, you know, from a Rockets perspective, it all depends on how aggressive you're willing to go to pursue. Because it makes sense, because Jalen was one of the biggest guys that wanted Ime hired in the first place. So that link doesn't go away. And given how he left, you know, I think I read in The Ringer, he was still dealing with that, processing it and not understand, like, because that affected him pretty deeply. So, the links make a lot of sense. It all comes down to how aggressive the Rockets want to be in upgrading this roster, because that does come at a considerable cap, you know, constraint as well. Because Jaylen Brown is not a cheap player, but that's the kind of moves that a forward-thinking team should be making if you want to go from phase one to a phase two to a phase three. You want to add real talent, but at the same time, what is that going to cost you? Now, are you willing, if you're Houston, are you willing to give up a Jalen Green for Jalen Brown? Are you willing to give up Jabari or Atari? Like, it's going to take a lot of capital.
Yeah. I want to say really quickly that I'm happy that you did say Atari. You know, most people would put Shane Goon in that third group. I'm still curious to see what they do on that situation. I would keep him in, but it's encouraging to see you say a guy like Atari, because that's a guy we want to see in Houston long term.
Right.
Kick it off to the next question.
Yeah. So one thing that, like, Stone talked about, in the you know, when Silas and the Rockets kind of split ways, is he talked about the new coach would, he wasn't going to come in and influence who the new coach picked for his assistant staff. Right. And so Udoka kind of hinted at that a little bit yesterday. Well, you know, I was going to get your thoughts on that. Do you think there's any world where we see Coach Mahmood and Coach Lucas on staff next year, or Udoka thinking a completely different direction as far as his staff goes?
So when you go back to the kind of staff Udoka had in Boston, he was a very diverse, very talented, very hands-on staff. You look at guys like Will Hardy, you look at guys like Joe Mazzulla now, both of those guys have gone on to do, you know, solid coaching jobs in their respective places in Utah and Boston. Now, the Rockets assistants last year, it was a unique group. I do know that Mahmood stuck out in terms of someone that the players really respected. They respected his basketball mind. He was more of a behind-the-bench assistant, but going off of his experience, his resume, he's been with the Rockets for a number of years. He's won a championship in the G League. He understands development. He understands, you know, X's and O's in terms of putting guys, ATOs, putting guys in the right spots to execute. Ime said he's going to speak to all of them. So I would assume if he speaks to Mahmood, you know, I don't know how that's going to go, but he's a smart guy, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's still involved with the team next season. John Lucas, personally, I could see him kind of moving up, kind of like a front office role, just because he's been around this team so long. And, you know, he was the lead assistant, but he was Stephen Sauce's lead assistant. Now, if Udoka has people in mind, you know, it makes sense to keep someone like Lucas around, because he has always been that bridge and understands both the executive part and the player part, but everything depends on what John Lucas wants to do. And at this point, don't really know. But personally, I could see him moving to the front office, just going back to, you know, some of his roots and stuff like that.
That's interesting. That's not something I would have thought of. But, yeah, I would like to see him just stay within the organization. This is one of those guys who's been really loyal. Right. So you got to keep around.
But also, you know, some of those guys that – and one thing I'm interested to see is some of the guys that interviewed for the job that didn't get it. Obviously, because of now, there might be some other openings around the league. You would think of guys like Frank Vogel, you know, James Borrego, you know, potentially being head coaches somewhere else. But if they weren't, and if I'm Ime, I'm calling those guys immediately. That's the kind of beefed up staff that you want for a young team. You need a bunch of brilliant minds in the room. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of cooks, you know, if you don't know exactly what's the food in front of you. So I would love to see a James Borrego get an opportunity to work under Ime. Someone like a Frank Vogel, someone like even if Adrian Griffin or Kevin Young, there's a reason why those top assistants interviewed for the job, because the Rockets viewed them as credible enough to potentially lead the organization. Sam Cassell is another one. But, you know, it all comes down to obviously the kind of staff that Ime wants to build and how diverse he wants to make it. But my first calls would be to Borrego and Vogel. No questions asked.
Yeah, Borrego is a guy that had that Hornets team at the top of the league in assists. So that's the guy who I thought immediately when they hired Udoka. So,
right.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if they grab him. But we're going to kick it off to some draft questions. Let's say the Rockets, that pick falls below the 2 seed, or not the 2 seed, but the second pick. So it's not going to be Wemby. It's not going to be Scoop. Do you think, I don't know, there's been some rumors about it. Do you think there's a chance that they can go ahead and trade that pick? Or do you think they're content with taking a project guy, like maybe Amen Thompson, who doesn't have that jumper?
I mean, I've been going back and forth on this, but I wouldn't be surprised if somehow, some way the Rockets don't get a top 4 pick, I would not be surprised if that pick is moved. It's just hard to, I mean, obviously there's, you know, Cam Whitmore and Oscar Thompson, they're still good players, but unless you're getting one of those top guys in Wemby, Scoot, Brandon Miller, maybe Amen Thompson. If I'm Houston and I'm not getting any of those 4 names, I'm punting. I would just pivot towards free agency and trying to see either collect more assets for this draft, I mean, for the future, or bring in a legit name. See if you can do that around the draft. But as you said, you know, these between Wemby obviously is a no-brainer, but Scoot, Brandon Miller, even if I'm Houston and I don't get the second pick, I'm still confident taking Brandon Miller and knowing that this is a guy that can be a real, it can be the real deal someday. Just needs, you know, that development, obviously. But even Amen Thompson, like on paper, like it makes a lot of sense. He does a lot of things that Jalen doesn't do right now in terms of he's aggressive defensively. You know, he can make those reads already at a high level. Obviously, the talent level that he faced comes into question, but I do think that he can translate those skills to the NBA at some point. But me personally, I'm always going to go vets. I just think you've seen 3 years of this. You want to get back to winning. Go get guys that have been there and done it before and do it. Because Tillman, if you remember what Tillman said he expects phase 2 is the playoffs. So yeah. He didn't say phase 2, let's keep developing these guys. He said phase 2 is the playoffs. So if I'm Rafael or if I'm Ime, I'm pushing to go get older guys that can help me now as opposed to guys that you got to groom over 82 games because it takes too long.
Definitely.
You kind of started hinting on the next question I wanted to ask you with that answer. But like, you know, the first 2 picks in the draft are pretty solidified. It should be Wemby and Scoot 1 and 2. But number 3 is kind of where it gets interesting because depending right. on who you ask and who has that pick, it could be Brandon Miller or Amen Thompson. So do you kind of know what direction the Rockets would lean if they had Brandon Miller and Amen Thompson on the board at the same time?
I've heard both, but if I was to put my money on one of the two, I would lean towards wing because they could just opt to go get another guard in free agency as opposed to collecting a pretty talented wing that a lot of people presume could go top two as well. So if he was somehow available at three and you're going best player available, I would go Brandon Miller. It would be close, but I would still lean towards Miller just because 6'9 can be a three-level scorer. You know, you don't see that often, you know, in teenagers, 19, 20-year-old players. So if you can get a guy like that that's pretty polished for his age, you do that. Now, if it comes down to, like I said before, he's no longer available and you got a project in Amen Thompson, Oscar Thompson, Cam Whitmore, Jarace Walker, then I'm more open to trading that because, you know, you missed on the top three prospects and your development track record so far is solid, but it's not great, if that makes sense. Like, you've developed guys like KJ Martin, you've developed to an extent, you know, Jalen Green, but you, Usman Garuba still could have used a lot more minutes. You could argue Şengün, his first season, you could argue he wasn't utilized properly and he could have been used a lot more, you know, a lot more playing time. So I'm always going to lean towards veterans. Like, this is how the NBA is won. Like, you need guys that know what they're doing if you want to get to where you want to go.
And that's a perfect segue into our next question because the Rockets have that Clippers pick, right? They traded it with Eric Gordon, that Bucks pick moved up to 20. And I'm thinking around 20, if they can't get a guy like Derek Lively, that may be a pick that they move for vets. So in your eyes, what?
Yeah, I'm trading that as well. I'm getting rid of that pick. You don't need to bring on any more young guys to this roster. Like, obviously Derek Lively is excited because he's young, he's raw. He can be that athletic rim running, you know, shot blocker that they don't have. But again, you know, it really comes down to how they evaluate this current roster and who stays and who goes and who they think will go. Because, you know, granted, they're pretty thin at big man. You know, it depends on how they see Garuba going forward. But it's still up in the air. I mean, I could see them taking Derek Lively, but if he's not there, I'm just punting. I'm sorry. It's just kick it down the road and live to fight another day.
I hear that.
Do you you started talking about kind of like who you pick to stay and who to go. Do you see them making like any consolidation trades this year? Because like obviously we talked about Jalen and Jabari and, you know, Tari kind of being untouchables, right? And like Şengün's probably somewhere, not necessarily in that group, but kind of in that it's somebody you want on your roster moving forward, right? And Udoka talked about KPJ yesterday, but
right,
you know, there's still guys like KJ Martin and Josh Christopher, Ty Washington. Like, do you see those guys potentially, you know, being on the roster next year and playing a role, or are those guys we're going to look to like aggregate into trades for some bets?
So KJ Martin is the name I would watch. I think obviously he's up for an extension. He's a restricted free agent. But he's somebody that I'll be watching to see if, you know, if they sign and trade him, you know, if they give him the money he wants and trade him for a slightly bigger salary, if that makes sense. Like, everyone talks about Cam Johnson and they love Cam Johnson, but, you know, I'm not sure how willing Brooklyn would be to let him go. It would take a lot of money on the table. But KJ is somebody I would watch to see for sign and trade opportunities because there could be another logjam, you know, depending on how free agency goes anyway. So, he's young, he's talented, but similar to last season, like there's a potential that there could be, you know, a logjam. Because remember, the only reason why he got those minutes was because Eric Gordon got traded, right? But it seems like they're going back towards that philosophy of older guys in the wings anyway. So if they're trying to move away from the rebuild and move more into a current state of affairs in terms of future players, I mean, older vets, you know, I could see someone like KJ being moved just because, you know, they have to make some kind of move at some point. They can't keep all these guys and add four guys. It's not going to happen. So you have to move. You have to move players, and the guys that have the most intrigue is a guy like KJ Martin, who still, even if he gets paid, it's still going to be, you know, in that whole $10 to $14 million range. I would assume maybe 15, but There are avenues to explore in terms of upgrading this roster. And when you want to get creative and flexible, those are the kind of things you want to look at.
For sure.
Yeah. And then we know you kind of touched on a lot of names, you know, in your articles and different, you know, podcast appearances, radio appearances, as far as like, you know, guys who we should look out for this summer in free agency.
Yeah.
You know, is obviously the big one, like you said, is James Harden. That's someone we've been rumored to a lot. I've heard Brooke Lopez has been thrown out there. Like you said, Cam Johnson is someone who a lot of the fan base wants and, you know, we've apparently been linked to. And then I even heard, like you say, Dylan Brooks, which is somebody who I know the fan base does not, you know, wants nothing to do with. So are there like, you know, are those the names we should look out for? Anybody else we should be, you know, who should be on our radar?
Yeah. Guys like Josh Hart, Austin Reeves, culture guys. Those are, you know, guys that are coming hard workers. That want to set the tone. I think, obviously, the Lopez's of the world. I mentioned the Cam Johnson, Dylan Brooks. But even on the fringes, there's still, you know, if you want to bring back a Pat Bev, you know, someone that can be that kind of leader in the locker room, you know, that's on the table as well. They got a lot of options out there. Even though this year's class isn't as robust as next year's, you still have enough money and there's still enough players out there that can help. But if I'm Houston, I would stay away from like a D'Angelo Russell. I would stay away from those names. I wouldn't, or Porzingis. I think those are too expensive. I would stay away from that. But there are enough quality, hard-nosed guys available now that even a Chris Middleton or a Draymond Green, like you never know what can happen in this market. Like money talks. And even looking at the Bucks, like, that's a team that I think is going to make a lot of changes, you know, between now and next season, just because of how this season ended. You know, you never know, guys have different decisions coming up. If they think they've reached their ceiling, you never know. So if you're a team like Houston, you want to go all in on upgrading your wings and stuff like that and your front court, that's where you start.
Yeah. And then just to touch on like the James Harden thing, right? Cause like I said, that's the big fish. That's the one that everybody's been trying to see if he's going to come back or not. Do you, just in your personal opinion and from what you've heard, do you think that James Harden winning a championship this year has any role, or if he flames out, you know, what is there like a world where how he performs in the playoffs this year, does that impact his ability to come back to Houston?
I think if he wins, it's a no-brainer. I just think if he wins a championship in Philly, that's why he left, was to win. I don't think he's one of those guys that has to get 4 or 5 just to feel satisfied. I think if he could get the 1 and kind of get the doubters off his back, I think he would more than be happy to come home. I think, or alternatively, if they flamed out, like if they lose in the second round to who they play in the second round?
They can play
the winner of the
Boston.
The winner of Boston or Atlanta. So if they somehow lost to so let's say that they lost to the Celtics in 5. No, then I think that chasm between, you know, flaming out in the second round and winning a championship, I think those are the two scenarios where I could see him definitely entertaining coming back to Houston. The Rockets want him as well. They're going to pursue that for sure. But as I said before, everything depends on, you know, the postseason.
And then do you think that, like, how closely are the Rockets monitoring him in the postseason, right? Because, like, I love James Harden, but he's been kind of struggling lately, right? Like, go ahead.
So like, part of his struggles is that you see him struggle to finish at the rim like he used to, and that all comes to conditioning. Mm-hmm. Obviously, knowing James, his conditioning has waned over the years. There are times that we've seen him in peak shape, the times that we've seen him in not so peak shape. It's all a conditioning thing. And that's the reason why John Lucas is such a big name, because it's been players that have, like, literally – on the verge of, like, tears. Like, John Lucas is going to run your ass to the ground. Like, I remember, if you remember Eric Gordon a couple years ago, he came a few pounds overweight. He put him through that circuit and got right back into shape. Like, that's what John Lucas does. So, you know, obviously they're going to monitor the situation because they monitor everything. But, you know, him, even at the age of 33, 34, he's still one of the best playmakers that this league has to offer, and he can help so much in terms of getting guys quality looks and just making the game easier for Jalen. Jalen Green needs someone to make the game easier for him. That's what he needs. That's how you get the best out of him. when he doesn't have to feel like, you know, the ball is going to have to be in his hands all the time or Kevin's hands all the time and have to create for everyone else and then himself. As a 20-year-old, 21-year-old, that shouldn't be your focus, right? Obviously, there have been players like Bankero that can do that and shown flashes of doing that, but those are different builds, the different NBA prototypes. So for an explosive scoring guard like Jalen Green, he needs someone like a James Harden or a Van Vliet or a Mike, someone that can make the game easier and simplify things to make things trickle down to everyone else.
And so we got two more Harden questions, and we're just closed with one last one. But, you know, with this Harden situation, we were talking in these Twitter spaces, and a lot of fans were like, we'd only give Harden like a 2+1 kind of max. I'm under the impression if the Rockets go for Harden, they're swinging. Like, they're giving him everything they can. Like, what's your mindset on that?
Well, I don't know. I know James is going to want that. Yeah. James probably wants the max because, like, remember, he famously – gave up some money this year so they could go get PJ and go get House and go get Melt and stuff like that. He left the money on the table. I don't know if too many players that will do that 2 years in a row. So the real question is, do the Rockets want to commit a large sum of their cap space towards a 34-year-old James Harden? That's the big question you have to ask. So especially if you're talking about a long-term contract. But nowadays we're seeing players – you know, take those two and one, just because of the incoming TV deal coming in the next 2 years. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they try and go a more team friendly route, but at the same time giving him some money. But at the end of the day, you know, James wants probably the max. I don't think he wants anything less than that. I'll be surprised. I would be shocked if he signed for anything less than the max.
No, I 100% agree. Yeah, he's going to want his money, and that's how I saw it as well. And Stone, he should.
Yeah.
And on the 790 Sports Talk, I want to say Stone and Udoka, they were talking about being strategic, not overextending. So that's what kind of prompted that question. So I'm interested to see what they end up getting. But the last harder question we have, say they get Scoot Henderson right.
Right.
James Harden's still in the equation. What do you think about that?
I think I could see it. I mean, just the need won't be as much, I guess, if that makes sense. But I could definitely see someone coming in and helping groom him. That's kind of what they thought that John Wall would come and do for Scoot, but you know that didn't pan out. But you know, I could definitely see it might not be as expensive as James if they go Scoot, but someone that can come in and help Henderson learn the game. And kind of learn how to be an NBA pro and how to run an NBA offense, because that's an incredibly hard thing to do. We've seen a number of players try and fail to do it. So I could definitely – they're going to get a veteran point guard regardless of what they do. But it's the caliber of the veteran point guard is kind of what I want to see in terms of if the draft impacts that as all. But they're going to get a veteran point guard for sure.
So, yeah, we don't have to worry about Nation Knicks anymore, right?
Nation is a good guy, but it's just like being a point guard is such a hard thing. And he, when he's on the floor, I think he thinks too much. And part of that was the Rockets probably didn't put him in the best situation sometimes. But, you know, he needs to play free. And the Nation we saw in the G League, now granted the talent level is obviously considerably less, but we saw him playing free. Like, you've seen Tata playing free. But when they come up, they're too much pressure. They're thinking too much. They're not shooting the shots that they normally take. So, yeah. I just think Nation has a little ways to go to be before he can consider himself, you know, a rotational NBA player.
We definitely agree there.
But then the last question we have for you, we're going to put you a little bit on the spot. You may not even have an answer for this one, but Tillman kind of just like surprised everyone and dropped their building a $70 million training facility in the Galleria area yesterday. So is there like any insight on that you have, or, you know, were you surprised like us?
I mean, I didn't know it was $70 million, but I heard that they had been doing it. Obviously, everyone heard that he'd been doing it for a while, but I think they kind of had to stop with COVID and everything. But it makes a lot of sense to put it near, you know, the Post Oak. You know, that's kind of what you want to do for – you want teams to come in, stay at the Post Oak, and train at the facility. That makes a lot of sense, as opposed to coming in, trying to train under Toyota Center. You know, it's not a great facility they have. And, well, they didn't have a facility, to be fair. But that gives everyone more impetus to, like, want to work. Like, having a nice new, like, if you get a new mic tomorrow, you would want to record a podcast. You want to get new equipment. It'll give you that urge to want to do what you want to do. So getting that facility, I think, is going to help them tremendously in terms of just the urge to want to go and work and want to play and go and, you know, get reps in. It just makes things, more fun, you know, for everyone involved. So that's what I think. But I was shocked. I thought he was kind of triggered when he said it, because Chance asked the question, and, you know, I guess Tillman was insulted by the fact that he was cheap, that he was considered cheap, and he brought up the flex 767. And then it was crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, I know for sure he probably wasn't supposed to say that. So, no, definitely.
Yeah, because the next thing he said was, I screwed up by saying that. It's just funny. But, hey, man, it's Tillman.
Yeah, well, Kelly, we had an insightful pod today, and we want to appreciate you for coming on the show.
Sure.
If you got anything upcoming that the listeners need to tap into, you can let them know.
So I got kind of an inside story of how the EMA deal came together. That's coming soon. I'm working on that. Then some more draft stuff, some more stuff on free agency, part two. I still haven't put out part two. Probably do that tomorrow. But just stay tuned, man. The combine's coming up. That's going to be fun. You know, everyone's going to want to see the lottery tuned in. So stick around.
Yeah, if y'all don't know, Kelly's writing for The Athletic, so you can check out all his stuff right there. As always, I'll close myself again. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all that good stuff, at BradoNBA, stats and highlights. That's where you can find me.
You can find me on, you know, at Bias Houston, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. Like I said, we appreciate you guys for listening to us every week. Continue the subscribe button, continue to leave the feedback. We appreciate all of that. And like Brad said, Kelly, we really appreciate you coming and taking time out your day to come, you know, drop some knowledge on our show with us. And sure, we're going to have to get you back on sometime in the future again. So,
I know.
Yes, for sure. We will do that. But as always, thank you guys for listening. We will see you guys on the next episode.